Podcasting from their studio in London. Get ready for an interesting adventure. AOK the podcast sets to take you on a thought-provoking journey. Now here's your host, the Oracle on the topic of kindness, Josie Perez.
Hey, what's up, beautiful world? This is Josie Perez, and welcome to an exciting special edition of AOK the podcast. It's Pride Month, everybody. I'm so excited to be part of this Rainbow Warrior Nation. And I'm really, really excited because I'm doing a very special edition for amplifying African queer voices. Today is so important because I am really keen to amplify my black brothers and sisters, particularly as they are underrepresented in the mainstream media. So this has really motivated me to do this, to ensure that these voices are heard and represented by the people, for the people. So I'm joined on this podcast today by a very special person all the way from Nigeria, Jan. Her pronouns are she, they. She's non-binary, so she goes, the pronouns could be either she or Jay. They, Jay. So before I make a fool of myself, Jan, thank you so much for joining me today. Would you like
to
do...
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no, I'm so excited that you are here. I'd love for you to tell the listeners who you are and a little bit of your background, and then we can get into some, you know, discussions.
Yeah, of course. Hi, everybody. My name is Jan. I'm Nigerian, non-binary, and I'm queer. I really don't know what else to say.
What do you do for
I'm
a living,
really
Jan?
I'm excited. Oh, I'm a student. Yeah.
Excellent. And what are you studying at the moment?
Medicine. I'm a medical student in Nigeria.
Amazing. And yeah. Is this your first year or?
No, this is my fourth year.
Oh, wow. And how much longer do you have to go?
I have two more years to go.
And yeah. what is your end goal? Where is it that you see yourself? What do you see yourself doing in the medical field?
I don't see myself practicing medicine.
Okay.
It's so weird. Like I see myself being like just traveling around the world.
Okay.
Not really doing. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think I'm going to end up being a doctor.
Spending this so much this time just, studying it and then
yeah, this okay. is just for the adventure.
Fair enough That's pretty brave to say. Yeah. So yeah. Jan, that's amazing, and I'm really glad that, you know, obviously we connected through 1946, the movie, which is the mistranslation that shifted culture. You know, it's quite a mm-hmm. big family of getting to know people around the globe, and yeah. Really, I quite, you know, I was quite intrigued by your story when we met on Zoom via that conversation. But really, okay. I wanted to try to find out firsthand the type of reality living as a queer person in Nigeria. What is it like to be? Are you out in Nigeria as an open queer person?
Well, I'm in the closet, but the closet has transparent walls,
okay,
and no doors. So I don't know, but I'm not out to my family. I would say it's hard being queer in Nigeria mm-hmm. because literally everything is stacked against you. It doesn't feel like we're living life. It just feels like we're trying so hard to stay alive to see the next day. Yeah.
Yeah. Is it a case of like your life is under threat all the time, or it's just not socially acceptable?
I think it's a little bit of like both mm-hmm. of them.
Yeah.
Because, okay, so very recently, the Nigerian government banned Twitter from being in use.
I saw that today, yeah, actually.
Yeah. And they are prosecuting people that are caught with the app.
Wow.
And it's such a hard thing for anybody to be under, but more like most especially queer Nigerians, because that's where our community is.
Mm-hmm.
Since it's not legal for queer people to gather and meet as groups, in person, like in real life. So most of our interactions are on Twitter and social media. And for that to be taken away from us as well, it's just really hard.
Wow. Honestly. So can I ask, you said about Twitter being taken away. Are you allowed to communicate about LGBT issues on social media, or is that not legal in Nigeria?
That hasn't ever been legal in Nigeria, okay. But it hasn't really stopped us from doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Most of the time, queer people use anonymous accounts.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So they don't actually, it's just a few people are out, even on social media. Yeah. And that's really brave, but not many queer people are out on social media.
Okay. Yeah. And that is because people are worried about your family and yourself.
Yeah.
Your safety being jeopardized. Is that right?
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Wow. That's really, really an interesting but also scary fact that, you know, people shouldn't take for granted either. Have you been involved in much activism within Nigeria as far as being a queer person?
Yeah, I would say so. But mostly with my anonymous Twitter account.
Mm-hmm.
So, and even now that Twitter is banned, I still use VPN. And many people still use VPNs. It's just that we have to be really safe to hide the VPNs and the apps on our phones in case the police, because we have random police checkups.
Oh my goodness.
So they just stop you. It's still the SARS people from the NSARS time. They are all over the street.
Mm-hmm.
So they could just stop you and go through your phone.
Is this and part then of... Sorry to interrupt you there. Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, so I was saying that, so the SARS people, if they see the Twitter app on your phone or mm-hmm. the VPN apps, they could just arrest you and take you to their station and collect all your money and just put you in jail or something. Yeah.
And is this all part of the SARS movement in Nigeria? Is this all part of the same thing?
Yeah. I honestly feel the reason why the government banned the app is still tied to the NSARS time. I think they are embarrassed. Maybe, I don't know if that's the right word, but I think they're taken aback by the fact that we could use the platform of Twitter to call attention to what was going on in the country, mm-hmm. especially when the government was telling other countries and other people that nothing happened and that nobody was killed during the protests and stuff.
Yeah.
I think all this is still linked, sort of.
Do you have pride marches in Nigeria? Do they take place?
No. No, they do not.
Is it more of a protest?
Well, the only time we had, there was during the NSARS protest, there were a lot of queer people that came out during the protest
mm-hmm.
and carried placards saying queer Nigerian lives matter.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And they were met with violence.
Yes.
Not only by the SARS people and the police, but by other protesters that were cis-het people. And that was just really, really confusing because we all thought we were all facing the same evil that is police brutality.
Absolutely. And yet the same people that you were there fighting about the same purpose, they were like, well, actually, no, we are going to don't come here with your queerness in a way, isn't mm-hmm. it? Which is just.
And what was even mm-hmm. something that happened that really shook me.
Yeah.
So. The Feminist Coalition were this group of women that helped to like organize funds for mm-hmm. the protest. And at the time when there were queer Nigerians that were being discriminated against at the protest, they put out a tweet saying that queer lives matter. But then the sister people started complaining and everything. And accusing queer people of stealing the spotlight. And so the Feminist Coalition people took back the tweet. And that was a really tough time for queer people in Nigeria because we felt like these feminist people were like supporting us
mm-hmm.
and for us. But it was really weird to see them just turn around and just revoke their support, sort of.
Wow. So the solidarity changed.
Yes.
Wow, that's really sad.
Just because these said people were complaining and they were telling us basically to just sit back and wait our turn.
Wow.
And all of that And it's just so annoying because there just never seems to be our turn, because police brutality is an oppression that affects queer people especially. And for us to have to be told to take a seat back from that, and then even now during the when they took away Twitter and queer people, queer Nigerians were talking out about how this is going to affect the queer community online, we were still told to sit back and wait our turn and not bring our issues up right now.
Wow.
It's just so weird. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. Because the thing is, like, you're stronger in numbers, right? It doesn't matter whether you're queer or not. It's about being oppressed. And if people are being oppressed and there's police brutality, which needs to be addressed, surely it makes more sense when you're all coming together. Because you're not just... You know, you're not just one strand. There's intersectionalities of queer people or non-queer people. We're all made up of so many different elements of cultures, of backgrounds.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like people go on about China and the regime that's there. But I'm wondering if you feel like Nigeria has become this kind of police state in terms of the way you guys are being governed.
I actually feel like we're living under a dictatorship right now.
Wow.
Because this does not feel like a democracy, because our issues as Nigerians aren't even being, I don't feel like we're being heard, and nothing is being done about the numerous insecurities in the country. And I feel like our government is just, they're just more interested in silencing people than doing their job. It's so weird.
Do you think this has been amplified by or exacerbated by the fact that we are in this pandemic? Do you feel like it's, to be honest, like I said to you at the beginning of this, our mainstream media don't necessarily give enough coverage about Africa necessarily.
Yeah.
So other than when we had the strand or the COVID strand that they was the South African strand, they called it the variant. But what I wanted to find out was, do you feel like this situation has been exacerbated because of the pandemic, or is it that it's really been there all along?
I think it has really been here all along.
Mm-hmm.
And the pandemic just really gave people, because during the pandemic, we were not as distracted by all the stuff we usually were distracted by before the pandemic, like work and all of that. So I think it just gave people like more time to think things through and to actually see what was going on. So, yeah.
Like many things, isn't it? I think generally, even in the UK and around the world, I think people get distracted, you know, with day-to-day living, work. And then the pandemic for me has highlighted the inequalities even within our own communities, which is one of the reasons why I started my podcast, was because I felt that there were many unsung heroes and voices in communities that were not being heard. Because we have these mainstream media machines that are owned by billionaires who only provide a platform for voices of the news that they want people to hear or they want people to receive. So, I mean, I can totally relate. So I was speaking to a South African activist this morning about experiences in South Africa from a queer person perspective. And they were telling me about the massive brutality that's going on for queer people in South Africa, particularly around murders.
Wow.
Are you guys experiencing similar sort of based around gender-based violence in Nigeria at all?
Yes. Yes, I would say that there are a number of times that we experienced that as well.
Mm-hmm.
That I can count, I can remember so many times that I would just be scrolling on Twitter and I'll just see that this queer person was beaten on the streets today, this person died today, this person was outed to their parents, this person was forced into this marriage today, this person was assaulted today. I feel like it happens a lot here too. Wow. As well.
Yeah, that is really, really, really sad and also alarming. That like I was saying, there's, you know, we don't hear about these stories. We don't hear about the situation that's going on. And do you feel like this is this sort of thing? Is it fueled by religion, culture, beliefs? What is it that you think sits behind this notion?
I feel like it's majorly fueled by religion
mm-hmm.
because most people that are very violent to queer people on the internet, at least,
yeah,
they are always backing it up with like scriptures and like, especially like the Abrahamic religions of Christianity and Islam. I feel like those are, I don't know, but people just use their religion to fuel queerphobia mm-hmm. in the country.
I totally get yeah. that. And do you feel that there mm-hmm. is there enough support within the country? Like, do you have organizations that do help and assist with the current injustices that's going on behalf of queer people in Nigeria?
We have a few. There are a few organizations that help, but I feel like there could be more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like there could be more, really.
Yeah,
and I feel like the ones that exist now could do more things to help queer people in Nigeria.
Do you constantly feel like your life is under threat? Is this one of the reasons why you feel like you can't be your authentic self and be open and out?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
What do you do to protect yourself, Jan?
Mostly what I do personally is I only have one friend that isn't queer. I just try as much as possible to surround myself with people in my community, because there are many times that I was friends with other people and I don't know, I just didn't feel safe.
Yeah.
So what I do is, first of all, there's the fact that my Twitter is an anonymous account.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the fact that the people I surround myself with are other queer people as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are the things I do.
So it's safety in numbers, basically.
Yes. And yeah. also I have to hide some of my apps
mm-hmm.
on my phone just in case, because I could just get stopped by a police person that wants to check my phone. Yeah.
So let me get this straight, though. If you had like an app of, say, a dating app or any queer stuff on your phone, is that an arrestable offense?
Yeah.
Is that illegal?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Wow. I did not know that. I really didn't know that. That shows
technically it is not illegal, but it's not illegal technically, but because of the SSMPA law
mm-hmm.
that we have, most people that stop people on the streets are just, they're not interested. They just draw their conclusions from anything that they see that is a little bit suspicious.
Okay.
And they could just arrest you based on that.
Wow.
But most of the time when they don't arrest people, they literally extort them and just take all the money in their bank.
Yeah. So there's extortion going on, bribery.
Yeah.
Okay.
In fact, sometimes it's as bad as, I know of some cases where some soldiers and police officials pretend to be queer people.
Oh my goodness.
Here we call it ketoing.
Yeah.
They pretend to be queer and then they make you come out to meet them and then they arrest you there.
I have heard of that. And sometimes people get beaten up and things like that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes. And you get outed to your parents and then they take your money from you. Yeah.
That is really, really difficult. It's a bit of a, you know, it messes with your mind when you think about that, to be honest with you.
Actually.
Just like talking to you, obviously, I feel like you have a lot of passion and some activism within yourself as a queer person and fighting, mm-hmm. you know, in your own way for helping to get the voice of queer people of Nigeria out there. So just for my understanding, where does your passion come from and what makes you feel the importance is to speak out about LGBT plus rights, particularly from an African perspective?
I would say my passion comes from the fact that oppression has never made any sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
No matter the sort of oppression, racism, misogyny, homophobia, it just doesn't make any sense to mm-hmm. hate somebody because they're not like you. It makes no sense. So
100%.
I guess my passion comes from a place of anger.
Yeah.
Because when you look at the things going on, you just wonder why do people do this? Why, what is it about hate that you have? What sort of hate could you possibly have just because somebody isn't like you? And that is just a weird place to draw all your actions from a place of hate.
Absolutely.
So I guess, and then seeing the amount of people suffering mm-hmm. as a result of this hate from oppressor groups, it's just so weird. And that anger is what fuels my passion, I guess.
That is such a perfect answer. I couldn't have said it better myself. No, that is amazing. I can totally get that and understand, you know, where the passion comes from. I suppose with me, my mom's South African. I was born there. Okay. And my dad was Portuguese. But, you know, being a person of color myself, I understand how we have to fight for our rights. I know it's never been easy. You know, it was never given to us on a platter. We had to fight for what we have, for the rights that we have. And I do not take that for granted at all, not one little bit, particularly, you know, being a person of color and a queer person myself. I know how much harder we have to fight, you know, to be heard, to be seen, to be accepted, be it by the wider world, but also by our own community and our own families and our own friends. And, you know, it just feels like the struggle is endless. And what the world would be so much easier to live in and such a better place if people were just to accept each other, respect each other, be kind and not expect, you know, like you said, why would you hate someone for just being different to what you are? It just doesn't make sense at all, does it?
It doesn't.
So, Jen, what would you, if you were to ask, if you had one wish and you could ask for assistance or help or allyship or in any form, what call to action would you say you'd have as part of this?
I would say, first of all, to like what you're doing, to just amplify the voices of underrepresented groups. Mm-hmm. And of queer Africans, and of queer Africans in particular.
Yeah.
And also to, apart from amplifying the voices and spreading the word, it's also like very helpful when we get donations to queer people, because most people here in Africa, especially here in Nigeria, are being kicked out of their homes and have nowhere to go because everything in the country is a mess. So, I guess donations help as well.
So is there any particular organization that you would say that that people could make donations to in Nigeria, for example, that would help with this?
Well, yeah, that's the thing, because the organizations I know, donations help to fuel their research and stuff. But more what I'm talking about is like to specifically queer people themselves, because most of the time money donated to organizations don't end up reaching the pockets of poor queer people.
So how would people know, though, you know, like say if someone wanted to help a queer Nigerian person, where would they go and find how to support someone? Do you see what I mean?
I could compile a list of people's GoFundMe accounts, queer people's GoFundMe accounts.
Okay, and that's the easiest way to do it then?
Yeah,
okay.
That is,
Right, okay, that's a good thing to know. And so in terms of, you said you have 2 years left to go and your aspirations and things like that. So, I mean, what I like to do is I like to end my podcast with positive discussions as well, not just kind of the doom and gloom stuff, but although what we discussed was very important, and I'm so excited and happy that you were able to, you know, have this conversation and disclose that. So on my podcast I also do a segment called what's hugging and what's bugging. So it's what's hugging is basically what is making you happy at the moment. What is the positive things happening in your life that makes you feel like everything's feeling good?
Oh, right now is the weather. The weather is so perfect right now here.
Really?
Yes, it is.
Is it winter now or?
No, it isn't. It's rainy season here.
Oh, okay. And you like that?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
You must be one of the very few people that I know that loves rain.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean,
I love rain.
I mean, if you came to London, we had quite like the whole of May was pretty much rain. It was horrible.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, that's a good thing. I mean, it's a good, you know, rain is nice, but not when it rains every single day. That
yes, I agree with that.
Yeah. And is there anything that's bugging you at the moment? I mean, obviously you said the whole Twitter thing, but is there anything else that's grinding on your nerves at the moment?
Right now is the fact that I'm in med school. It's hard. Yeah, that's it.
That's great. And it's not long to go, though. 2 years?
Yeah, it isn't.
But I'm sure, I mean, feels like you've been there forever, no?
Yes, exactly.
Great. Well, you know, Jan, this has been interesting. It's been really amazing to hear your story firsthand. I'm really glad that you agreed to do this session with me. Thank you. And, you know, amplifying queer Black voices from Africa has been a dream of mine for a while. And if I can do anything in my small little platform that I have to amplify Black queer voices in some way, shape or form, this is why I wanted to do this podcast. So I thank you so much for taking the time out today to speak to me.
Thank you so much, Jan, for that awesome interview. To my queer brothers and sisters in Nigeria, you're not alone. We are here. We see you. We hear you. And together we can combat hate, because love always conquers hate. Thank you so much for joining me for another exciting episode of AOK, the podcast. Come back again soon for another awesome episode. Thank you so much for your time, and remember, if you can be anything, be kind. Until next time, my friends, ciao for now.